Estoy leyendo a la directora de un colegio y escritora. Ella está en Alemania, en Baja Sajonia. Dio una declaración contundente. Ustedes no tienen ni idea de lo que le están haciendo a sus hijos, dándoles libertad en el tema de Internet. Es importante en este momento hablar y definir, prohibir o educar. Prohibir o educar. Y Ana, esa es la primera pregunta para Silke Müller, la mujer que se ha convertido en una embajadora digital de Alemania. La primera pregunta es esa: ¿qué se hace con los niños? ¿Se prohíbe o se les enseña a manejar el Internet?
Good morning, Ms. Müller. Thank you very much for your time today at W Radio.
Hello.
Let us begin by asking you, in simple terms, what should we do with our kids? Should we teach them how to use social media, how to use the Internet, or should we ban them from it?
The question is very good because I think it needs both. We have, of course, to regulate screen time. Maybe we have to talk about something like prohibition and protection in the same time. And it's very, very important to address the government, to react that no smartphones has to be in school, because we have to educate them in the media way. And maybe the parents also have to educate their children at home. But of course, we have to accompany the kids. We have to be there for them. We have to listen to them in the shark tank of social media where they are in.
Es una buena pregunta porque necesitamos las dos cosas, regular el tiempo en pantalla, pero por el otro lado también se tiene que hablar de prohibición y protección al mismo tiempo sobre estas redes sociales. Es muy importante educar a los colegios, educar a los padres, pero claro, acompañar a los niños y estar ahí con ellos hablando del tema y de los peligros del Internet y las redes sociales.
Mrs. Müller, do you have kids?
Yes, of course, two daughters. They are just grown up, but I live with them in the social media time also.
Tiene dos niñas y vivió con ellas también esta época de las redes sociales.
Ana, ¿a qué edad les dio un teléfono inteligente a esas niñas?
Did you provide a smartphone to your kids?
No, entró cortada la pregunta, Ana. Qué pena, pero no le abrieron el micrófono. La lucha.
Yes. At what age did you give your kids a smartphone?
They got the smartphone when they got to the further school, like when they were 11 or 12 years old. It's the fifth class in Germany, and after elementary school. And I think for normal, it is much too early to give them the smartphone in this age. But all the children have a smartphone in the age of 10, 11, or 12. I think it's the same in Spain or in England or in Italy, wherever. But it is very important not to let them alone with it.
Le dio un celular a sus hijas a los 11 o 12 años, están como en sexto grado en Alemania. Nos dice que tienden a tener a esta edad los niños de 10, 11, 12 en todos los países acceso a el celular. Es importante el acompañamiento, que no estén solos con ellos.
Ana, a mí me gustaría preguntarle si ella, como directora de colegio, ha visto algún cambio de comportamiento en un niño que haya estado expuesto pues a contenidos violentos o inapropiados en Internet.
Since you're surrounded by so many kids, have you noticed a different behavior by those kids that are in, you know, that are using smartphones and are accessing, you know, violent content in this? And these electronics, have you seen a change in behavior for those kids?
Yes, I do, every day. And I think it's very important that all the adults, the politicians, the teachers and the parents know what the children see. So the danger and the threats of the shark tank of social media is like seeing violence, torture, pornography, insults all the day, humiliation. And this is what we speak about, like platitudes. But if I tell you that the kids see videos worldwide, like a small cat which is given in a blender, and the blender is just pressed on, so it's working. They see the castration of a man. They get blackmailing because they are sending, maybe because they are in love news or something like this. This is really a really big problem. Cybermobbing is very hard. You know, there were always conflicts, of course, but now it's very hard. And because the people know, the young people know, it's 24/7. Cyber grooming is the next thing we have to talk about, that the young people are in chats on Snapchat, on WhatsApp, in online games and so on. So pedophile people are building trust to the young children, and they send pictures like nudes and so on, and then they are getting to be victims and end up in abuse, and they are set under pressure. And if you see all of this, and if you see that there are young people who show a self-harming behavior, they find the best examples on TikTok and so on. The community of children with suicide thoughts, which they are talking about on TikTok, is incredibly large. Also, the toxic beauty idol. And I think if you hear all of this, you see depressive children, you see sad children, you see children which are very lonesome, and they start, by the way, chatting with AI characters, like this new platform character AI. And it's a very big, big danger we do not see for our children. Yes.
Let me translate that really quickly. I'm sorry to interrupt. Nos dice que ve el cambio en el comportamiento de estos niños con acceso a redes sociales todo el tiempo. Por eso es tan importante que los adultos, tanto los políticos, los profesores y los padres, se hagan cargo de lo que ven estos niños y estas amenazas que pueden ver en redes sociales, como contenido violento, diferentes insultos, pornografía, son todos estos videos tan violentos a los que tienen acceso los jóvenes, y hay que hablar con ellos de lo que ven. Tienen acceso 24/7 a plataformas, Snapchat, WhatsApp, tanto niños como jóvenes están viendo todo este comportamiento abusivo en redes sociales. Incluso en TikTok se puede ver a jóvenes con tendencias suicidas, y cuando los niños se alimentan de todos estos videos e información tan triste, pues obviamente los puede deprimir también y ponerlos tristes al mismo tiempo, y los niños solos pueden comenzar a interactuar con personajes de la inteligencia artificial, y todo eso puede generar un peligro.
Profesora, yo quiero preguntarle si un niño de esta generación que ya nació con pantallas, comió con pantallas, duerme con pantallas y con redes sociales, juega solamente con redes sociales y hoy tiene, pues, no sé, 8 o 10 años, ¿es un niño que todavía se puede recuperar? ¿Se puede hacer algo para que deje eso? ¿Se puede hacer algún trabajo, o ya es un niño perdido en redes sociales?
I wonder, you know, these kids that were born and raised and have lived all their lives through this social media internet era, some of them even shower with a phone in their hands. Is there anything that can be done to bring these kids out of this world, or is it too late for them?
No, I think it's never too late if we talk about the health and the mental health of kids. And it's our exercise to accompany them, to show what protection we can give, and to look after prohibition and laws and rules. And I think a good way is to ban smartphones from school. Of course, if teachers say we have to work with them today in class, then everything is okay, but not in the breaks, where the children should play with each other. They should talk with each other. Maybe they should argue with each other from eye to eye. And I think it's very important to do something at home, like making a media contract for the family, where the screen time is mentioned, where it's mentioned that mom and dad also have to have a free phone time. And I think it's very, very important to look in schools after media education, and this has to be very regularly from elementary school on. And the last thing I want to add, a smartphone has nothing or has never to be in the children's room at night. There they have to go out.
Dice que nunca es tarde para comenzar a hablar de la salud mental de los niños. hablar de la protección que le debemos dar y mirar el tema también de la prohibición, empezar a promover leyes en los colegios para que no se pueda usar el celular en el colegio. Nos dice que los niños deben jugar entre ellos, deben discutir entre ellos cara a cara y hacer algo en casa también para regular el tiempo en pantalla. También es muy importante el ejemplo que les dan los padres. Los papás también tienen que regular ese tiempo que están en el celular, acompañado, digamos, a esa regulación que también le hacen al niño. La educación es muy importante. Y por último, el celular en la noche, absolutamente prohibido. Cuando se van a dormir, el celular debe estar por fuera de la habitación.
Hemos hablado mucho de los peligros que ella ha señalado y que... Pero también hay un factor de seguridad para los niños y los padres. Y le pongo ejemplos. En Estados Unidos, en la masacre de Uvalde y en el último tiroteo en Wisconsin, fueron niños con sus teléfonos celulares los que pudieron advertir a las autoridades. ¿Cómo hacemos para conciliar los peligros también con los elementos de seguridad que puede proporcionar un teléfono?
You know, even though the phones can be, you know, as you've mentioned, a danger, they can also be quite helpful. In the U.S., we have school shootings, well, way too much. And then recently we have learned that on those shootings, sometimes the kids with their phones are the ones that call 911. How can we try to find a midpoint in which we're using it for what's good, not using it for what's bad, but we also can use it to communicate in some situations that it's needed?
Yeah, of course. I think we also have to mention that social media is very creative. And me, myself, I would have learned math, for example, much more better with a math influencer than in school. So I think it's connecting, it's like friendship, it's for personal identity and so on. So I love to be on social media as well as the youth people do, or the young people do, and the youth do. And I think, yes, of course, the world is dangerous, and I think we often hear about danger situations. But the smartphone is not the only thing which is protecting us. It is also possible to cry for help, to see that someone needs help, and then we have to react. And this is not only the smartphone. And I think we do not have to think of the worst situation, but we have to think of normal situation. And of course, it's okay if children have a smartphone in their pocket. But I think we have to have these rules when we have got smartphone free time for, yeah, just look for the children that they have a carefree and cheerful childhood. And this is what we are forgetting while they are just thinking in the internet. And one last thing, we have a study in Germany right now this year. It's in the Youth Digital study of Deutsche Post. And they say that 15 years old girls and boys are 71.5 hours a week online, not only in social network, but they are online. And I think we have to care for smartphone free time, and we have to teach them how to be a human and how to talk like a human.
¿Cree que debemos mencionar, obviamente, el lado positivo que tienen las redes sociales, que tiene el celular y el uso del celular? Pero nos dice que, por ejemplo, en el caso de una situación peligrosa, estamos rodeados todo el tiempo de este tipo de situaciones en el mundo, pero lo único que nos puede proteger no son los celulares. Nos dice que está también la reacción a alguien que necesita ayuda, no solo el celular. Entonces, no hay que pensar en la peor situación, sino en el día a día, en la normalidad del celular. Está bien que un niño tenga ese celular en el bolsillo, pero poner reglas sobre su uso para que el niño tenga una niñez feliz. Y pues nos dice que regular el tiempo libre que también que tiene el niño para que pueda vivir también su infancia. Well, Ms. Mueller, thank you so much for your time in W Radio. It's been a pleasure having you today in our show.
Thank you. It was a great honor for me. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Muchas gracias.